Paul wondered where the train would finally stop. Wondered if anyone had seen him standing at the edge of the track, so close he could have reached out and touched a moving car, the wind slicing through his hair, stinging his eyes. And if they had seen him, what had they thought? Images moving past the train windows like a series of still photographs. One and another. A tree, yes. A rock, yes. A cloud, yes. And none the same. And then a boy, himself, with his head flung back, laughing. And then gone. A bush, electric lines, the flash of road.
We could shoot some hoops.
Nah. They walked along the tracks. When they had crossed Rosemont Garden and were surrounded by tall grass, Duke stopped, fishing in the pockets of his leather jacket. His eyes were green, flecked with blue. Like the world, Paul thought. That's how Duke's eyes were. Like the view of the earth from the moon.
Look here, he was saying. I got this last week from my cousin Danny.
It was a small plastic bag full of dried green clippings.
What is it? Paul asked. A bunch of dead grass?
As he spoke, he understood, and he flushed, embarrassed at what a geeky dork he was. Duke laughed, his voice loud in the silence, the rustle of weeds.
That's right, man, grass. You ever get high?
Paul shook his head, shocked, despite himself.
You don't get hooked if that's what's scaring you. I've done it twice. It's totally amazing, I'm telling you.
The sky was still gray, and the wind was moving in the leaves, and far away another train whistle sounded.
I'm not scared, Paul said. Sure, nothing to be scared of, Duke said. You want to try it? Sure,
he looked around.
But not here.
Duke laughed.
Who do you think's going to catch us out here? Listen, Paul said.
They did. And then the train was visible, approaching from the opposite direction, a small dot growing ever larger, its whistle slicing the air. They got off the tracks and stood facing each other on either side of the metal rails.
Let's go to my place, Paul shouted as the train bore down. No one's home.
He imagined them smoking pot on his mother's new chintz sofa, and he laughed out loud. Then the train was rushing between them. There was the roar and silence of the passing cars. He glimpsed Duke in flashes, like photographs hanging in his father's darkroom. All those moments from his father's life like glimpses from a train. Trapped and caught, rush and silence, like this. So they walked back to Duke's house and got on their bicycles, crossing over Nicholasville Road and meandering through the neighborhoods to Paul's. The house was locked, the key hidden under the loose flagstone by the rhododendron. Inside, the air was warm, faintly stale. While Duke called home to say he'd be late, Paul opened a window, and the breeze lifted the curtains his mother had made. Before she'd started working, she'd redecorated the whole house every year. He remembered her bent over the sewing machine, swearing when the lining snagged and bunched. These curtains had a creamy background with country scenes in dark blue that matched the dark striped wallpaper.